good to be with you once again this morning. Today, hopefully, with the end of the series that started in March, we will get rid of the March weather. Today, we finish through our journey of the account that John gives of his experience walking with Jesus Christ. Jesus walked every step in the path of love, and his greatest love was seen as he gave himself on the cross, but also as he rose on the third day. Jesus' love didn't stop there, though. Rod Smith is an NFL Hall of Fame wide receiver. When asked about practice, Rod Smith, whenever he would catch passes, he would tuck it and run 20 yards. No matter what the drill, no matter what practice it was, no matter if it was just warm-ups, catching and running, every time, 20 yards. He knew that he had to run through, he had to finish every single time. In a game, he would never catch and just be okay with standing there. In a game, he would never catch and want to run backwards to the beginning of the line again. He knew every single time that he made the catch, he had to follow through to the end. Jesus could have stopped after the resurrection. At this point, he had completed his greatest act of love. In fact, the greatest act of love that the world had ever seen. He'd also proved his power and the indisputable fact that he was who he said he was. In his resurrection, he was seen by hundreds of witnesses, hundreds of people who could confirm the truth of his power. But Christ wasn't content with leaving work unfinished. Jesus didn't let things stand broken. He didn't allow himself to stand still. Jesus had work to do. And he would show us in the final story, in the 21st chapter of John, that love leads to restoration. I used to love watching on Discovery Channel a couple of old Iowa boys wandering through the countryside looking for hidden treasures. My dad and I would sit on the couch after a long day and turn on Mike Wolf and Frank Fitz to watch American Pickers. Their whole job was to go out and to look for the things that were old, abused, torn apart, broken, finding it. Finding those things and finding the value there. You know, some of the stuff required a bit of spit shine. A lot of it required a lot of elbow grease. But no matter what they'd find, they had this talent of seeing through the dust, seeing through the rust, seeing through the brokenness, and seeing the value there. Each one of us, in one way or another, can find ourselves there. The old dusty barn, the cluttered room, the out in the field that's overgrown. Find ourselves in need of a little bit of restoration. A little bit of fixing up. Sometimes with a need for a little bit of elbow grease to be applied. God doesn't leave projects unfinished. Each of us have those days before we accepted Jesus Christ and accepted His rule and reign over our lives. Each of us still have those days where our actions, our habits, and our choices bring us back to the brokenness and need of restoration. Peter could still remember the days before he met Jesus. It had been 3 years since he had been called to drop his nets and follow the teacher he barely knew. Following a teacher would turn into a friendship for Peter. Peter would go anywhere for Jesus. He would face anyone. Peter knew, and the crowds knew, that there was something special about Jesus. The way he cared for people, the way he loved without limits, and the words that he spoke. They all led Peter to a realization. You see, Peter was the one that when Jesus asked, "Who do they say that I am?" Peter stood up with confidence and said, "You're the Christ, Son of the living God. Peter was supposed to be the rock of the church. The rock that the gates of hell could not overcome. Peter proclaimed that he would do anything for Jesus, even give up his own life. But Peter was also the one that found himself rebuked by Jesus. There's a point where Jesus actually addressed him as Satan. Jesus had to tell him to put his sword away that he swung so recklessly. Peter was the one that would fall asleep 3 times when Jesus needed him to stay up and to pray with him. Peter was the one who denied Jesus, just like Jesus had told him he would, 3 times. Peter saw the resurrection. He was the one who had the faith to actually go inside the tomb, see the garments laying there. Peter was the one who still didn't know what it all meant. Peter was the one holding on to the mistakes that he had made, the past that he lived. Peter's life was like a roller coaster. It had its ups, but so often it goes screaming down. Peter was the one that knew Jesus had returned, but he was also the one that didn't know if he could be renewed. He figured things would never be the same. He thought he had messed up too bad this time. He didn't realize that Jesus, with his love, could lead him to restoration. The question is, how does the resurrection change how I live today? For Peter, a friend was brought back. But what Peter was brought back to was instead his old way of life, his career of fishing. The resurrection may have confirmed his belief that Jesus was who he said he was, but it never changed how Peter saw himself. We can do the same thing in our lives. Some of us spent the last week celebrating the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead, that he's alive, that he has come back. But there are times when we can recognize the resurrection without recognizing the impact that it has on our lives. The impact Easter morning had was not just on first century Jerusalem. It affects us today, and a failure to recognize the impact that Jesus' death and resurrection had is a failure to recognize the true importance of Jesus' sacrifice. See, Jesus didn't have to die so that he could prove to the world that he was God. Jesus had to die because humanity, you and I, were fallen. You and I have sinned. Jesus had to die to pay the price that I couldn't pay. He had to cancel out the debt. But Peter was still stuck thinking that the bill was in the mail. Thinking that he still had a list, things he needed to be able to account for. It's where we're brought to in John chapter 1, in chapter 21. Peter was at a time in his life where he didn't know what was next. He didn't know what was next, so he went back to what he had always done. He went back to his boat, back to his nets, back to his fish. Jesus was alive, but Peter couldn't figure out what his role would still be. So while he was with the rest of Jesus' disciples, he says, I'm going to go fishing. And we're reminded once again that even though it was Peter's profession, he wasn't a great fisherman. Peter and his friends were out all night casting away, pulling up their nets, trying to find some fish. And in the morning, they hear a voice from the shore. And Levi, what's the worst thing to hear when you've been all day fishing and haven't gotten a bite? You're fishing in the wrong spot. He was told that as well. Hey, Peter, got anything yet? Nope. Haven't caught a thing. Peter was reminded once again of his shortcomings. Throw your net to the other side. Like Levi said, you're fishing in the wrong spot. Begrudgingly, with a little bit of frustration, with a little bit, maybe some sarcasm, I'll prove you wrong. Peter threw his net to the other side, only to find their nets filled with fish. John recognized what had happened. When he had said, it's the Savior, it's the Messiah, Peter jumped in. He swam to shore as fast as he could. It was Jesus. Once again, he came, and once again, he called them out of their boats to follow him. Jesus was waiting with open arms and warm breakfast. Like many other times in the 3 years since Jesus found them, they talked, they ate, they shared together. And from chapter 21, starting with verse 15, it says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon, Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Take care of my sheep. Simon, son of John, for the third time, Jesus asked him, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know all things. You know that I love you. Do you ever wonder why Peter was hurt? The third time that Jesus had asked. I wonder if Peter's mind went back to the garden where he fell asleep time and time again. As Jesus would come back and say, please, stay up, pray with me. Do you wonder if Peter's mind went to the time around the fire at Jesus' trial? Or time and time, third time again, Peter denied even knowing this man called Jesus. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. You said, very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself. You went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Jesus was telling Peter that he'd have to pay up on the promise that he had made that night. Jesus tells Peter that there will be hard times to follow. But God doesn't leave projects unfinished. He tells Peter that he's still invited to be part of God's plan. Through the times that he denied, through the times that he messed up, through the times where he slipped, Jesus is telling Peter, you're still invited to be a part of what I have going on. My work isn't finished yet. I'm still going to use you. His call hadn't changed. Jesus was still asking Peter to be a fisher of men. Jesus was honest with his disciples. He had told them that before that the servant is no greater than the master, the student is no greater than the teacher. And if they hate me, they will hate you also. Jesus is up front. Jesus is honest. Jesus ends this time where he's telling Peter about the hardships that he'll face. He ends it by saying, follow me. Follow me. The same call from beginning to end. Follow me. Walk in my footsteps. Go where I go. See where I lead and trust me to follow. There's a powerful picture here. When Jesus calls Peter the first time, he was calling a stranger. At best, he was calling an acquaintance. Here he calls a friend. He calls someone that he's seen the best in and the worst in. He still calls Peter. He calls Peter knowing that Peter has let him down before and that he will let him down again. And he calls us in the same way. You may have times in your life where you've fallen, where you've slipped up, or you've denied, but Jesus is still calling you. You may have times in the future where you're going to mess up. Jesus is still calling you. Follow me. Aren't you glad God calls us even after He's seen our mistakes? Aren't you glad that God doesn't leave projects unfinished? That He still works, that He still guides, that He still forgives and He still loves. Time and time again. God still had a plan for Peter. And if you're in a place where you feel like you have dents, you have dirt, you have rust, you have places where you're fallen and you don't know who's going to pick you back up, God's still working. We all have areas of our lives where we need a little bit of elbow grease. We need a little bit of spit shine. We need to be cleaned up. There's still so much work to be done. But God doesn't leave projects unfinished. Jesus continues on through the end. He runs the extra miles. He takes the extra steps. In Jesus' death, sin was finished. But your life was begun. We celebrate that today and every day. That our sin is finished, but our life is begun. Will you follow Jesus? Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, help us to follow. Help us to follow You. God, thank You for taking us and calling us even when in the past we've messed up. Even when You've seen our failures and You've seen our mistakes, God, thank You for continuing to call us. to continuing to push us and continuing to allow us to be your friend. God, we thank you for all the times that you've found us with work needing to be done. And you've brought us through. God, thank you for continuing to work on us today. God, we praise you, we love you, we thank you for the work that you're doing. Help us to be examples for you, to all the people that we come in contact with, for those who don't know you, for those who are far away. Help us continue the work that you have begun. And God, we thank you that in your death, sin was brought to an end. But in your death, you brought us life. Lord, help us to live it, following in your footsteps, wherever love leads. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. May you please